The implants may have descended, the breast has been stretched and then shrunk
Yeah,
again.
I mean, they
Some
are not
patients.
lifetime devices. Now, having said that, they can last a very long time in a patient.
Capsule that can
So
one
you
just aesthetically not look great to have something that is hard and tight on your chest, and in late stages it can actually become
Yeah,
painful.
I've
So
never been
that's
a
a
big believer in the textured implants, even when they came out, because they can still rotate. So I've
The
always.
beauty scientists, Dr. Christy Hamilton and Dr. Roy Kim. Real beauty without the
Welcome to The Beauty Scientist. I'm Dr. Christy Hamilton here with Dr. Roy Kim. We're both board certified plastic surgeons who love talking about everything plastic surgery and aesthetic medicine. And today we're talking about navigating decisions around breast implant exchanges or removal. So breast augmentation is one of the most popular plastic surgeries, aesthetic surgeries every year in the United States. There are thousands of women that undergo the procedure. And so when you think about how many breast implants are floating around out there in individuals in the United States, there's a lot. And at some point, they have to come out. These are medical devices. And so this is an episode entirely dedicated to that process, when to do it, why to do it, what your options are. And we're going to get really detailed.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun-filled discussion. So,
So, yes.
I have the first question because if you could go over briefly, like the history of implants, their evolution over time, and why get breast implants?
So the first breast implant was invented actually in Houston, Texas. So that's one of the fun facts in history from my training program. And so the myth is that one of the plastic surgeons looked at a bag of saline. So that's a plastic bag with the fluid inside, and was like, "Oh, kind of looks and feels like a breast implant." And so allegedly that's how the concept came. So the first breast implants were filled with saline, and then we've later moved on to later generations where they're silicone filled. So the modern implants today, both of them have silicone shells, and some of them are filled with gummy material that's also made of silicone, and you still have the opportunity to put saline implants in. And women choose to have this procedure to enhance volume. So there's other surgeries we do, lifts or whatnot, if we're trying to really reshape the breast. But if you truly want a significant change in volume that you can control, and we'll talk about why I'm mentioning that difference later when we get to your options, breast implants is that's the go-to to enhance the chest and cleavage.
Yes, and the history, of course, is mainly in breast reconstruction, and they started using it for cosmetic or aesthetic breast reasons. And you did mention saline versus silicone. Silicone was off the US market from the late 90s to November 2006. A better type of silicone came back on November 2006, and we're still using it. There are also different, mildly different versions of silicone where some are like more like firm than others. So that all helps in terms of giving patients more options. So, for aesthetic reasons, why in the world would you consider removal or exchange? So, any like cosmetic reasons as to why you'd want your nice looking breast implants out?
I think the most common reason I see in my practice is just what has happened during the lifespan of these implants. So a lot of patients will get them in their 20s, and then they go on maybe to get pregnant, have some kids, maybe do some breastfeeding, and then by the end of that, things are looking very different. The implants may have descended, the breast has been stretched and then shrunk again. Some patients find that they don't have as much coverage over the implants anymore, or just that they're sitting lower and they'd like to change that. That's the most common reason I see. For women that have got an implant, their initial set of implants later in life too, just tissue quality as well, and descent, I think, is one of the main reasons that I see them coming back.
Yeah, and so there are actually also medical reasons for removal, including implant rupture and other things. But are there any other medical reasons as to why patients would want them removed?
Capsular contracture is another one. So we've talked about this before, that there is a thin sheet of scar tissue or collagen that covers all implants in the body. And this is true of any foreign body. So whether it's a pacemaker or a splinter, your body is going to always like wall off something that's not self. And a healthy capsule is one that's very thin, pliable. It's like when we're looking at it in surgery, it's like basically translucent. We can see through it for reasons that are not in, there's a lot of theories and we have a lot of ideas on it, but for reasons that are not 100% understood, some patients will quickly or usually very slowly develop a really thick, tight capsule. That can, one, just aesthetically not look great to have something that is hard and tight on your chest. And in late stages, it can actually become painful. So that's a reason to remove it. And then this is not something I have personally seen in my practice because I don't use textured implants, but there is a really rare type of lymphoma that's been associated with textured implants specifically. And so the treatment for that is removing the capsule and the implant.
Yeah. So we have talked about patient personal preferences, lifestyle changes. Can you care to comment a little more on maybe the recent research and FDA guidelines for the BIA-ALCL, breast implant-associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma?
Yes. So that is a type of lymphoma that is associated at this point only with textured implants. There have been also a few cases. I remember we got that broadcast about a type of squamous cell carcinoma. We haven't heard much more about that. I think it was 10 cases or so last time I had heard. So this is not breast cancer. I think that's a really important distinction. So it's a type of lymphoma that forms in the capsule around the implant. All the cases to date, there's been a textured implant in that person at some point. In most cases, it's a very slow, indolent form of lymphoma. And the treatment for almost all patients is just removing the capsule and either replacing with smooth implants or not replacing at all, just depending on the patient's preference. So that's just something to know about. So I think most surgeons, especially in the United States, we don't use textured implants anymore. I always use smooth implants, so I just continue doing that. What do you use, Dr. Kim? I would imagine smooth as well.
Yeah, I've never been a big believer in the textured implants, even when they came out, because they can still rotate. So I've always used smooth ones in my professional career.
Yeah, and there's even studies out that show that the shaped textured implant and the smooth round one, when they asked the patient if they could tell the difference, they did a study. We actually put a textured shaped one and then a smooth round one in the patient, and neither the patient nor plastic surgeons that were blinded could tell which one was which. So maybe it wasn't doing as much as we thought having a shaped implant. So most American plastic surgeons don't use textured anymore. FDA also wants patients to know about breast implants that they're medical devices. They're not meant to last forever. So there's no hard guidelines on when breast implants absolutely should come out. But I tell patients, you know, once after 10 years, I think certainly by 15, that's a good time frame to consider exchange or removal. What do you counsel patients about?
Yeah, I mean, they are not lifetime devices. Now, having said that, they can last a very long time in a patient. So usually I definitely give the FDA guidelines for breast implants, but I also tell patients, look, if you don't really have to have them removed and you're happy with them and there are no complications or issues, why exchange them? Patients typically want them exchanged for various reasons, including personal going larger or going smaller or whatever, or very common where breast augmentation patients, over time, they develop breast sag, so they want an exchange of implants and then a breast lift. So though that's one topic we'll get into in just a moment. Are there any sort of, I guess, more urgent times where you'd recommend exchange or removal versus sort of like, hey, yeah, it needs to be done, but we have time to wait?
Usually there's not a lot of urgency to this just because it's usually aesthetic reasons. If there's sudden swelling of the breast, that's when we can get concerned about some of those complications that we were talking about. And so that would merit at least investigation earlier. And then also if there's any, you know, if we have a very, very thin patient, and this is on more common in the breast reconstruction community than the augmentation community, but if for any reason we think that we're about to see that implant coming through the skin, that would be a reason to go back. But that's not typical with cosmetic patients.
Yeah. And then, of course, it doesn't matter whether it's breast reconstruction or aesthetic breast surgery. We need to have regular checkups. We need monitoring. And the big thing is imaging. So when the silicone breast implants first came out, they recommended MRIs at routine intervals, which essentially no one got. So what have you heard about the newer guidelines regarding ultrasound versus MRI?
So the FDA switched to recommending ultrasound or MRI at more frequent intervals, but ultrasound is much, much more affordable. I've done research for investigations for some of the breast implant companies. And when you ask patients, okay, have you gone for an MRI to look at your breast implants? I have had exactly zero patients, aesthetic patients, tell me that they went for an MRI because they have to pay out of pocket for that. And I don't know anyone that's going to voluntarily pay a couple thousand dollars to check something that to them looks and feels normal. And if patients feel like something's wrong, they're just going to go in and see their surgeon. So ultrasound's nice because one, it's much more affordable. It's much more reasonable to go send someone for formal ultrasound. But also, I don't know if you've done this, but I bought an ultrasound, in-office ultrasound device this year so that I can start actually assessing my patient's implants in the office.
Yes.
And I like that because I can look to see if there's a rupture. Can look to see if there's fluid around the implants or excessive fluid around the implants. It just gives me more real-time information. And I think that's helpful for patients. And it's something they can get done without having to go get another test.
Yeah, I have a portable ultrasound machine in the office as well. I definitely use it as a tool. I think, though, for like health insurance purposes and verification, it's always best to send the patient out to a formal ultrasound to the radiology department. But if you can sort of tell, hey, there's nothing wrong, and you can confirm that, not certain if they need a formal ultrasound every single time they're worried about something.
Yeah. So it's just another tool. And then obviously before we had any of these options, we were just going by our usual like looking and feeling. So we want to make sure that your breast implants like aren't feeling hard. We want to make sure that they're not, you know, sometimes we'll see patients that over time just with stretchiness, like their implants are kind of sliding off into their armpit, also a function of just like the muscular forces on it over time. So there's other reasons that we can, or other things that we can assess on physical exam just by seeing you. And that's most of the monitoring.
Yeah. So what is your surgical approach for implant removal as opposed to implant exchange in these patients?
So to your point earlier, we want to know, okay, have your personal preferences changed? If we're removing them, are we okay with not having that volume there? Do we want to consider restoring it with maybe a fat transfer if that's an option, maybe putting in a different implant if we still want to maintain more significant volume? So it's understanding what look the patient wants, their reasoning for what they're doing. And then we basically are looking at the skin envelope, and also how we're going to volume restore. So when I completely remove implants, as patients don't want them anymore, I'm almost always doing a lift at the same time because the skin's been stretched out at that point by the implants. We want to get everything like higher, tighter, more compact. And then assuming the patient doesn't have just skin left, if they have some residual breast tissue, then we can also do some fat transfer. And some patients like that because you're not going to get as much volume as if you have an implant. And it's certainly not as much guaranteed volume as if you choose an implant, but it can restore some of that because it can be shocking for some patients after removal if their breast tissue is essentially all gone and they don't really have much breast left. How do you like to counsel patients and what are you considering?
I mean, that's exactly what I say. I do have some additives for patients who want to go larger. Yes, we could take out your implants and go larger. How large sort of depends on your anatomy. If it's a little too large, even though your skin has already been stretched out, we may have sort of a ceiling as to how large it can be. The flip side, of course, is exchanging the smaller implants, because if you go a little smaller, I do think that it depends on the patient, their skin laxity. They can just get an exchange. But if they go substantially smaller or they have more loose skin than they realize, they will need a breast lift at the same time as getting smaller implants. And finally, with fat grafting, it's very cool that we can actually smooth out the contours. We can deliver fat anywhere we want in the breast. So not just with a breast implant, which has a very defined shape, you can't change the shape. With fat grafting, we can actually slightly alter the shape and contour of the breast implants because we can put that fat anywhere. But we are limited to, my guess is, about 300 cc's, which seems to be sort of a hard limit for many plastic surgeons as to how much fat you can actually add. And in the US, at least, 300 cc's is not that big of an implant. We typically put in larger ones.
And then of that fat that's transferred, we know not all of it's going to survive. So depending on what you read, it's 50-60%, that is probably a good 70% would be great of what you get to survive the transfer. And it's going to depend on also, we need a good field to sow the fat grafting seeds. So if you don't have enough breast tissue to begin with, you're not going to be able to put 300 cc's of fat transfer in there. You might need to do multiple rounds of it if that's something you want to do.
That's absolutely
the final option always is just simple removal, but that one I spend a lot of time talking to patients about what that's going to look like. If they've got saline implants, we can actually deflate them in the office just by poking a hole in it with a needle after we numb the skin. So that allows patients to kind of see what their breasts would look like and allows the skin to retract as much as it's going to. Some women may be fine with that. They're not too concerned about it, or maybe they didn't have really big implants in to begin with and good skin quality. Other women will see, oh my goodness, that's what I look like without, you know, I've forgotten that's what I look like without breast implants. And then they may be inclined to put a smaller one back in or have a lift or some combination of procedures. And so there's always other things that you can do afterwards if you remove your implants and you're not thrilled with how that looks without doing any other procedures.
Now, of course, there's a controversial topic, but it's related to actual breast implant removal, and that's BII, breast implant illness. We're actually going to do a separate episode on this, but care to make a comment on removal of implants and BII?
Yes. So we know that you do not need to remove the whole capsule around the implant. So that's something that's really important. That can be really, really, really disfiguring if patients don't need it, especially if they have thin tissues. So I would be wary of someone suggesting that you need to do that unless you have a really thick, really calcified capsule that's causing an aesthetic issue. So breast implant illness, it's not a medical condition, but it is a descriptor of a constellation of symptoms: fatigue, malaise, brain fog, other symptoms that aren't real, that don't have a foundation in anything measurable as of this moment. But it is something that the FDA wants women in the United States to know that exists, that there is a community of women that feel like after they got implants, they developed these symptoms. And so as of this moment, and we'll get into the science and the data behind it, what I tell patients when they come in, I have not had one of my patients that I put implants in come into me with these symptoms, but I've seen a second opinion, other women who've had them placed elsewhere. And what I tell them is what I would tell one of my own patients: you not need to have breast implants. And so if you feel like your breast implants are not serving you anymore, you can absolutely remove them and go through any one of these options that we talked about, so you still have a beautiful aesthetic outcome, just something that's a little different than what they had with implants.
Yeah, very well said. And yes, we'll be talking with more data, more studies about this in a completely different episode. But there you have it. In terms of removal, remove them, but you don't have to get rid of the entire covering, the capsule, if you will, around that implant.
I completely agree.
Well, I think that's about it, because we're sort of talked out about implant removal, implant exchange, and whether you want to replace the volume or not. So anything else you wanted to add, Dr. Hamilton?
I'd say ask us questions. There's so many different ways that you can do. This is considered revisional breast surgery. It's such an art. Every case is different. I love doing them. I know you do too, Dr. Kim. So comment below, message us, ask us questions, and we would be delighted to answer them. And maybe some of them, there's enough questions that merits a whole future episode.
Yeah, I think this is a big topic, and so it'd be fun to get some feedback from the audience. Well, as always, thanks so much for joining me, Dr. Hamilton, and to you, as well as all of our listeners and viewers, stay beautiful.
Stay beautiful.
Thank you for joining us on The Beauty Scientist. Be sure to visit thebeautyscientist.com and learn more about modern beauty and connect with Dr. Hamilton and Dr. Kim.